on today's show, can you ever step away from your business, or are you doomed as an entrepreneur to never enjoy a vacation or time off ever again? That's just part of what we talk about with our guest, Jim, who's calling back for a second time on today's episode. Jim has quit his job and taken his business full time, but now he wonders, how do I take the next step so I can work more on my business than in my business? If you're wondering the same, then stay tuned because we answer that and lots more on today's episode of Freelance to Founder. Here we go. I'm Preston.
And I'm Clay, and this is Freelance to Founder.
Clay and I have both been there, barely making ends meet as a freelancer, knowing there has to be more.
But since then, we've each built multiple six or seven figure businesses.
And now it's your turn. On this show, we're changing the lives of everyday freelancers just like you.
Discovering this podcast a few months ago really like changed the trajectory of my journey.
I'm not sure I would even be thinking about pushing this forward as much as I am if it weren't for YouTube.
This has been really helpful, and I think a good mindset shift for me.
Really, really valuable stuff. I've made a ton of notes, and I plan to put this stuff into action immediately.
Discovering that I'm a founder instead of a freelancer has been amazing for me.
If you're ready to push past hourly rates and build a business that sets you free, then you've got to join us.
You can call in yourself by visiting freelance2founder.com. We can't wait to chat with you.
We'll be back with today's caller after this.
Whether you want to travel more or communicate better with international clients, you need to try Babbel. I've used Babbel's courses, and you can do the same in order to learn real-life conversation skills in a different language, order food, ask for directions, or speak to clients without having to use translation apps. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for our listeners at babbel.com/freelance. That's 60% off at babbel.com/freelance, spelled babbel.com/freelance. Rules and restrictions apply. When you wake up in the morning and check your phone, does it feel like this or like this? Because with Shopify, your morning can feel like this way more often. That's the sound of a sale being made on your new Shopify store. And while client payments may require weeks or months of work, you can start generating a semi-passive income to grow your business by setting up a Shopify store all of your own. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your latest designs on shirts or bags or adding something totally different to your business, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You can sell online, you can sell in person, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. With Shopify, you can set up your store in minutes and start selling immediately. And Shopify's award-winning support is there to help you as you go. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/freelance. That's all lowercase. That's shopify.com/freelance to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/freelance, or click the link in our show description and start waking up to this. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Freelance to Founder. My name is Preston Lee with Millo.co, and of course joining me on the air today is my friend Clay Mosley from GetDripify.com. Hey Clay.
What's up, Preston? I feel like it's been a bit, man.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. We need to get back in the groove.
Back in the groove, which means we need you listeners to join us. We can't do this show without you. I mean, we could try. It definitely would not be as fun or as interesting. We love having you on the show. So if you want to join us, visit freelance2founder.com. You just scroll to the bottom of the page. There's a little sign-up form, and we will help you brainstorm, troubleshoot, problem solve in your business to help you be more successful as a freelancer, agency owner. Sorry, I'm done with my pitch now, Clay, off my soapbox, but it has been a minute. It's nice to chat with you, man.
You know, it's good that you get on soapbox, because we actually do. We need some people. Like, this is the only thing that feeds the show, right?
Yeah, lurkers, all you lurkers out there, man, we need you.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. I think it's just been, a timing of a variety of different things, either with you or me or, you know?
Yeah, and we're coming up on summer, at least here in North America. And it seems like we always have a lull of guests in the summer. Mm. So we really do need you guys. Come join us. It's a lot of fun. It takes us half an hour, 45 minutes. And we feel like we hear from most people, it makes a positive impact on your business. I'm hoping that's what we hear from today's guest who's joining us. Jim calling today for his second time. We talked about a year ago. You'll remember as you listen, and as we talk to Jim, you'll remember a little bit about his business. But Jim, welcome back to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, you guys are invaluable to me. I mean, an hour of a free coaching call with both of you, I mean, it's, you can't beat it. So thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. I didn't even have to pay Jim to say that. So I appreciate that, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm listening to your shorts of, you know, guys that are, should I go to college? Should I go not? No, listen to Preston and Clay, because, you know, you guys are so authentic. You have the experience of actually building a business, and you're real. I mean, that's what I love about you guys. You're just, you've done it. You offer very practical advice, and I'm just grateful that you're going to spend some time with me today. So thanks.
Well, that's so nice of you, and we're excited to spend time with you. We love catching up with people who've been on the show previously. Why don't you remind us a little bit, but mostly remind the listeners what your business is about, what you're working on, and maybe paint a little bit of a picture where you were about a year ago when we spoke last.
Yeah, so about a year ago, I was... Basically, I started a side hustle as a Salesforce consultant. I had taken a client and then picked up a second client basically by word of mouth. And the main topic that I wanted to chat with you about a year ago was picking up a third client. And in the past year, basically through word of mouth referrals, I picked up that third client. So things have been great. I've been really blessed. Just in moving the business forward, and really what I want to do on our call today is just kind of talk a little bit about how you actually make the transition kind of from that freelancer to a founder, where you're working with a couple of different people and now you've got a couple of different clients to manage. And just I wanted to kind of get some guidance and thoughts on just how you make that process, I don't want to say smoother, but just easier to manage. I don't know if there's another word for it. So. But yeah, it's been a really good year for me. And so I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to, you know, it's interesting. It's like, there are emotional roller coasters trying to run a business. Mm-hmm. And it's like some of it is really, really exciting and I love it. And other times I'm like, you know, maybe in 10 minutes when we're on another topic, I'll be a little bit scared, but that is the nature of the business. And I guess maybe that's kind of the place I wanted to start with. It's like when you were growing your businesses, I mean, how do you stay even keel, if that's even the right term? I'm not looking for like a counseling psychology, but it's like, there are the ups and downs of it. And how have you guys kind of managed that?
That's a really good question. And, yeah. I have a couple thoughts. I'm sure Clay can add some as well. But for me, you know, well, remind me first, Jim, have you taken this full time yet? Or is it still
a
side?
I did leave my job and take it full time last year. So.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal.
Yes. And that was, you know, cutting that ripcord, that was definitely scary. So,
well, especially, I mean, you've got a family, you've got, a couple of kids, if I remember right.
Yeah, two young kids.
Yeah, so yeah, that's no small thing. So congrats, that's a big deal.
Thank you.
For me, that up and down, you know, that you feel strictly. I mean, obviously, there's like all the emotional health stuff, right? And we can get into some of that, how we manage our mental health, our emotional health, and I think that's an important thing to talk about. If we talk about strictly from a business or strategic point of view, for me, peace of mind, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on the show, but I just think it's so important and so overlooked so often in service-based businesses, and that is just building as much predictability into your business as possible. So for me, the anxiety really spikes when I'm like, oh, I don't know how much I might crush it this month, but what if I totally bomb next month or you know, yeah, I landed this great client now and maybe they're paying me on a monthly basis, but they could cut that off at any time. And I don't know, you know, if I have enough other business or other clients to help with that. And so for me, like that unpredictability and the moments when my business has been most unpredictable are the moments when I have been highest in anxiety and other mental health challenges as well, where I'm just like so stressed about the business, I can't even enjoy running the business or enjoy the freedom that ought to come with having my own business. And so for me, it's that predictability. It's like, are my clients, you know, either paying a recurring amount and on some kind of contract, or are they on, you know, on an annual contract, they pay me once a year, but we know we're going to do this for at least 5 years, or do I have, if I don't have a recurring business model, do I have at least a recurring marketing model, right? So like, do I have a predictable way and a reliable way to fill my pipeline so that there's always more business to be had? So that if I lose a client or if I finish a project, I'm not like scrambling like a crazy person trying to find my next paycheck. And so for me, that's like one of the biggest things is making my business as predictable and reliable and really even on the revenue as I possibly can. Clay, what would you add to that? Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply. You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's Hydrow. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Predictability is the key. And I mean, when things are not predictable, it's everything's always a question mark. Which, by the way, I wanted to just give you kudos for going full time, because you voluntarily made that decision yourself. So that to me says a lot. It says a lot, because, you know, if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, then you'll know that I did not voluntarily make that decision. I was fired. So I was kind of forced into that decision.
Me too.
And I honestly don't know if I would have gone in business. I really don't know if I wasn't fired. So I'll never know, because I can't go back in time. So yeah, congrats to you for making that decision. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
And then also this like emotional roller coaster, this up and down thing, for in case you don't know, and for in case any of the listeners don't know, this is a roller coaster you will never get off. It is a never ending roller coaster. So just setting those expectations there, it doesn't matter how much you grow your business, because everybody will say, oh, you know, once I make it to, you know, X number of dollars a year, like I'll be fine. There'll be no stress. No, there's stress. It's just a different kind of stress. So that will always happen. A couple of things that I do to help kind of regulate this is exactly what Preston said, spot on, predictability. Do everything possible to make your business predictable. So I won't hit that point again. Number two is never, and this is something I got caught in this trap, never be comfortable. And so what I mean by that is there are going to be times in your business where you are rolling pretty good. You're making good money. It's predictable. And then what ends up happening, and I'm not saying this ends up happening for everybody, but it ends up happening for a lot of people and it ends up killing their business, is that they get comfortable and they think, I'm fine. You know, I don't have to work as hard this month because, you know, I'm having good months. Being comfortable like that, if you're not, like, you always need to be in this growth mindset. Like, what can I do to always continuously grow? It doesn't have to be a lot of growth, but you need to always do something that where you are doing something to grow your business. Otherwise, if you're just like super happy and comfortable where you are, I have figured out that, you know, 1 month of comfort turns into 6 months, that turns into 2 years, 3 years, and then all of a sudden you're in a big fat hole. So I don't know, Preston, if you've ever experienced that.
Oh, I for sure have experienced that. It sometimes even is like on a, not even like a few years down the road, I'm in a hole. It's like I get complacent for a couple months and then I kick myself back into gear for a couple months and it kind of creates this roller coaster. And that it can be hard to do, especially I think when you're working alone for yourself and there's not a lot of accountability, it can be really hard to come up out of that rut and out of that hole, right? Instead of going down deeper into
it. Yeah.
Cause you don't have a boss or you don't have coworkers going like, you got this, or you can do this, or here's what I expect of you, or, you know, any sort of accountability. And so I think it is important. Maybe if I could add another thing to build accountability in, I like to do that with my team. But some people will find like a mastermind, you know, just someone, even if it's a spouse or a partner or a friend or just someone who like you go to lunch every few months and they say, how's your business? And you talk business for a while. Like I have a few friends also running their own businesses. And so every once in a while we'll get together for lunch. It's not an official thing, but it does definitely, I do know in the back of my mind, right, that when I see them again, they're going to ask me about my business. And so there's this small bit of accountability built in. So that would maybe be another thing.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the things I just wanted to chat with you about, because it is in some ways, I don't want to say lonely running a business, but I notice like my wife is wonderful, but like at the end of the day, she doesn't really necessarily want to hear about all my business thoughts, you know?
Yeah. She doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't.
Yeah.
And
you know why? You know why? Because at the end of the day, correct me if I'm wrong, but at least half of it is just bitching about it.
Yes, exactly.
That she doesn't want to hear that. She wants to hear none of that.
Yes. And I guess that kind of leads me into a question I was thinking about. Are business coaches worth it in a sense for accountability? Because I know that that's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a thing, but I, you know, a lot of times I'm thinking of like coaching as like, someone that helps you set goals and things like that. I mean, would you use a business coach in this regard on top of maybe his community if you can't find it? Or like, what are your thoughts on that?
Clay, this is you. I've never had a business coach, although I've considered it many times, but I think you have, right?
Yeah. Short answer, yes. The longer answer is you have to be careful about who you hire for this. Because everybody and their mother and brother and cousin's a coach. I mean, you'll get some 18-year-old out there who is a life coach. And I'm like, really? So you have to definitely vet people, interview them. You just have to make sure it's a good fit. I think that I've had my fair share of bad coaches. And so I know what makes a bad coach and what makes a good one, at least in my opinion. So I'll just talk about how what makes a good one. A good coach, in my opinion, is someone who helps with a very specific thing. So to hire a
and there, this is debatable, okay? Mm-hmm. You're probably going to get some people hating on this, but to hire just a straight general business coach, I think is a mistake. I think you need to hire somebody to help you with a very specific thing. If you need help with accountability, hire an accountability coach. If you need help with marketing, hire a marketing coach. Things like that. Because there's so many people out there that label themselves as business coach. But like, what does that even mean? Because there's like hundreds of different things that people need help with business. And so that's one thing.
So hold on. Can I ask a question? Don't forget don't forget your second point. But so if you're going to get someone really specific for certain things, do you then just like you just have a predetermined amount of time usually? Like I'm going to work with this coach for 6 months or 12 months or something or until we reach a certain goal? Or like I was surprised. I had never done therapy before. We took my son into therapy. And I was really surprised when the therapist was like, his goal was to get us out of there as quickly as possible, because that would mean that, you know, the problem we came in with has been solved. And so, I'm just curious if like you feel like a business coach maybe works the same way.
I think in theory, yeah, I think it works that way. There's a graduation point, because a good part of being a good coach is they get to the root of the problem of whatever issue you have going on that you need help with. A good coach will help you get to the root of the problem to fix the problem, right? Or fix the issue. And if you get to the root of it, and it's the same thing with therapy, if you get to the root of it, you don't really need that coach for it anymore. Hmm. Right? I mean, in my opinion, there's really only a couple of reasons like why you would keep doing it. Just, you know, if you feel like it's like, it's almost like going to a gym, you know, like you, let's just say you go to the gym, which by the way, is a very, very helpful way to regulate your emotions through entrepreneurship, just hitting the gym on a regular basis,
getting out of the office.
Yeah. I mean, it does a lot just to be able to pump some iron, like seriously. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from someone who hates exercise. Like I hate exercise. I hate it. But anyways, my point is like, if you just need someone, it depends on the type of coach that you want to hire, but if you just need somebody that will help exercise that part of you and just keep it maintained, then that's a reason to keep paying them.
Gotcha.
And so I think with like, for example, therapy, you know, again, there's different types of therapy. But for me, I keep paying my therapist, and I see a therapist on a regular basis. It's less frequent, but that's just because I view it as like me going to the gym. Because if I get like, I mean, I don't have a six pack, but like once I get to the point of having a six pack, I can't just not go to the gym. I'm going to lose my six pack. You know what I mean? So there's certain things that just depends on what it is. Like you have to keep maintained and exercise that. It's the same thing with like, if you learn a different language, right? Well, if you stop speaking it, you're just going to lose it. You're going to lose a lot of it. So that's my only thing. Here's my second point on coaches. A good coach will also have a framework. They will have an A to Z framework, how to get you from where you are to where you need to go. Really, really bad coaches I've hired in the past lacked a framework. And when you lack a framework, what ends up happening is on the calls, they'll just say, what questions do you have for us today or have for me today? And I'm like, hell, I don't know. I straight up told this coach this. I said, hell, I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. Like, that's what you're supposed to help me with. I don't know what questions to ask, you know? It's because I think that, like, that coach lacked a framework. Because if they have a framework, they know exactly what things you have checked off on that framework, and they know exactly what you need to do next. So even if there are no questions from you, well, they know exactly what the next step is based off the framework.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that. What are you hearing over there, Jim? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds, Basically, the reason I'm kind of asking that and thinking that is I took a lot of thank you for the recommendation on the book Traction by Gino Wickman. For me, that provided, that provided a model of like, okay, if I'm going to build this agency, this business, what should it look like? And one of the early chapters in the book, he talks about letting go of the vine. When I left my job, it felt like that. It's a risk. And I don't want to say you're looking for assurance that it's going to be okay. And, you know, I had built a pretty good track record with my clients. I picked up another client and things had gone well there. But like, even right now, I'm like, I wish I had like an older person in my life, like a sage that's been there, done that, that could look at this and say, yeah, that's normal, or no, that's not. And maybe that's just wishful thinking, or just I need to network more, or, you know, think about a business coach or someone that's actually walked people through that. And, you know, because it feels like to me, like one of the things about the working in your business versus working on your business, to me, I feel like I'm in a transition because I'm still doing, like right now, I'm still doing a bit of both. And I guess the challenge for me is trying to figure out exactly how to let go, because it feels like last year I was able to bring my first contractor on and that went really well. But I knew the guy really well. And so but bringing him on allowed me to focus on, okay, how do I build a process? You know, how do I take my work from the client and then, solution that and then send that to my contractor for development? And so I started trying to document processes and building checklists and those sorts of things. But also now I realize that if I really want to grow this business, I need to kind of get some help much more on the sales and marketing side, simply because I feel very confident with the operations part of it. Like dealing with the Salesforce solutioning, like that's my expertise. But the financial part of it and kind of some of the admin part, like I hired a bookkeeper, I hired an accountant, but I still manage it. And I guess now what I'm trying to figure out is like, are there stages to just letting go? Because it doesn't seem like you go from just working in the business to working on the business. Like, is that a transition, or like what's the best way to think of that?
Yeah, for me, in a service-based business, most of us will always work in the business to some degree. And particularly because you probably got into this business because you enjoyed the service that you're providing, which if I remember right is like Salesforce.
Yes.
For companies, right? So, you know, most of us don't start off, you know, there are entrepreneurs who will build a business just to have the business and work on the business, and they don't care about, you know, the actual craft being done or whatever, right? And that's fine. But most people we talk to, and it feels like, Jim, you fall in this same category, we start as a craftsperson first, where we are talented at something, we can offer a service, we enjoy it. It seems to me that there will always be some element, probably until we sell the business, of us working in the business. And I don't think that that's a bad thing necessarily. I think when it comes to service, like, I think that can be a really powerful thing for our clients to see that we're in the business, right? Not as opposed to being like an absentee owner of the business. So, but I agree, like I think it does come in stages, and I think it's good to pursue that idea of, instead of saying like working in the business versus working on the business, for me, I pursue having a business that when I want to be gone, when I want to go on vacation, when I want to take a day off, when I want to whatever, take time off for holidays, right? I can do that and the business still runs. For me, that's the defining line, right? Is like, because I enjoy working in my business.
Sure.
But can I also, when I don't want to do it, can I also step away? Do I have the freedom to do that? And so, yeah, for me, that does come in phases. And it sounds like you've done some of the phases that I would recommend. So congrats to you, like hiring administrative tasks like bookkeeping or accounting, hiring some contractors and trying them out. I think your next step might be to hire some more contractors and see if you can find more that you can rely on. In my experience, and Clay will have maybe different stories on this or other experiences on this, but in my experience, I usually have to hire 2, 3, 4, 5 contractors to find one that's great. And then I hold on to that one. And so you kind of experiment and you learn and you make mistakes, and eventually you grow like this little team of maybe contractors or maybe eventually full-time employees, depending on how you want to take your business. But it does, in my opinion, unless you're going out and getting a bunch of angel funding or something to just hire a bunch of people on the spot and completely take over the business, it is a very gradual thing. And I think that's to be expected.
Yeah. And I think like that's kind of the piece that I'm trying to work in a little bit is I've been so involved with my clients. I believe I have a great relationship with them, but I definitely feel like the one thing with Salesforce is the customization for each of the clients is so specific, and oftentimes it's really detailed, and it's hard to bring other people into that process quickly. And so for me, it's like one of the things I'm trying to do right now is I have someone I used to work with that I really like that, I'm hoping to bring him on, just kind of slowly show him some of the project work that we're doing so that eventually I feel like, hey, can you take a client meeting for me? You know, and I think that's kind of like, I'm doing it. I feel like, I brought him on in January and I feel like I'm doing it slowly, but it's like, hey, it's already April, but it's just like, for me, I'm still trying to figure out the cadence because I think my risk and my letting go is I feel like I've got great client relationships, but then if I grow, I feel like I'm going to lose that, or I'll lose the intimacy of that. I don't know if that's a rational fear or if that makes any sense, but I guess that's kind of my question is like, as you've grown, like the main clients that you have, like how did your relationships change?
Clay, what do you think on that? How did your relationships change as you, particularly, I mean, Clay, you've grown a 20 plus person agency, lots of people that could get sort of in the process there. How did your relationships with your clients change?
This is, it definitely is a process. So, I mean, that it doesn't, this transition is definitely a transition. It doesn't happen overnight. The only exception is like if you're an investor, like that's different. So as far as like the fear of growing and losing quality, that is definitely a valid emotion. And I actually think it's great that you're recognizing that, because a lot of people don't realize this until they're in that that hole. And what ends up happening is, this, because like everyone who owns a business, they focus on, I need to get more clients.
Yeah.
But then what ends up happening is they get more clients and then they're like, oh shit, I can't handle it. And then they either have to work themselves to death to try to keep up with the quality, which let's face it, if you're working yourself to death, the quality is going to suffer. Or you have to like quick hire someone to help. And we all know how quick hires usually end up. So it's good that you're recognizing this. So I think that, for me, like and I've experienced this the hard way. I mean, we definitely like grew super fast. Whenever I had my agency and we did both quick hire and we were working ourselves to death. So I know what that feels like, and it's not very fun. So try to avoid that as much as possible. I think it's important for you to, one, understand what your capacity is.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like what percentage of, like if you had to put it in percentage, how much capacity are you at?
Me personally, probably 80%.
Okay. And you already have somebody that's, you're kind of training?
Yes.
Okay. So you're in a good spot, actually.
Well, and the thing I realized is that if I didn't start bringing some help on, I would burn out. Like I was doing was not sustainable. So in mm-hmm. some ways, letting other people take a little bit of the technical burden. And honestly, my friend is probably a better developer than me. You know, he's very good. Even if he's not better, he's as good as me, you know? And so, like, for me, it was like, I knew the resource I was placing there. I knew the guy that was there. And so that transition was kind of really helpful. But I also know that to sustain him, I feel like I do need to grow, you know, but to grow, then it's like, how much capacity do I have to actually, you know, go find new clients versus, you know, staying so committed to just the, you know, staying kind of like with the heartbeat of the clients that I have and staying on really on top of that work. And I think that's like the next step of maybe, I don't want to say letting go, but just kind of like, okay, help delegate that a little bit more. I mean, I guess that's kind of where, you know, it's like, yes, there's the fear of like leaving the job, but then you start getting into it and it's like, okay, now I need to probably start delegating some of this other stuff to grow. And I think that's where I feel like I'm just getting, I don't want to say stuck, but it's much more harder. And maybe it's emotional, but I'm wondering, like, just from a quality perspective of like, yes, I trust the guy, but he does it a different way than me, you know, and that's got to be okay. And that's,
yeah,
I think that's the wrestling factor that I'm going through as I think about letting go.
Oh, I was going to ask, like, how much of your time is spent on projects?
Yeah, 70.
Percentage-wise.
70%.
What's the other 30%?
Documenting processes, trying to come up with, you know, marketing and sales and trying to figure out the process for that and just general administrative stuff.
That's the stuff I would first delegate.
Yeah. So the other thing that I'm working on is there is a solution, a technical solution I've now built like 4 times, for basically every client I've worked with. And I'm looking at using a special project. Like, I'm about to start a special project to kind of push this as an app through the Salesforce mm-hmm. App Exchange. It's kind of like going to Google Play or the Apple,
right,
you know, store. And I guess what I'm thinking is what I'd like to do is free up some time so I can actually, like, I don't want to say standardize this app so that I can actually try to sell it. Like, I see kind of doing some shifting away from that. But again, maybe I need to, you know, have my friend work on that while I continue to do the client work. I guess that's kind of the juggling match I'm in right now.
Instead of the app, could you sell it as a service?
Yes. But I've got to still, I could, I feel like and they're so customized. I think the app would just be easier for me to manage technically, like from a support perspective, longer term. But what I'm hoping to do is to say, look, I will sell this. I will do the implementation of it and customization of the app, and then hopefully tie that into some sort of managed service moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering though, because it sounds like it sounds like every single project you bring on is super customized,
yeah,
to each person. Okay.
Absolutely.
I wonder if because like one of the things that I teach on is you have to have an offer ecosystem. I believe I called it Offer Ascension in the past. But basically it's like you provide one service, right? Uh-huh. It's a custom job. I'm wondering if you can offer a lower tiered service. And I don't know anything about Salesforce, okay, or what you do, so you can tell me if this is even feasible.
Sure.
But with what you're talking about, you've been doing, so you've built out this, like, this, lack of a better word, this template,
yes,
right? You've done it 4 times. There's obviously a, like, it could be, like, this is a, demand, like people demand this very specific thing, whatever this thing does.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering if you could sell this on a, you know, it's less expensive, but it's also less customized, right? Mm-hmm. Clients will know this.
where this is easily implemented by your the person you're training. And that could create a lot more revenue. And at the same time, you can stay on where, you know, you can limit your capacity of custom jobs because that's going to be more scalable.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And you can rinse and repeat this for different models, right? Yeah. So like if this thing that you built out it solves problem A, well, you can have another one built out that solves problem B, problem C, and you could basically have these like these one and done templates that you can implement as a service. I like the service part. I don't like the app part because the app, one, you're going to get less money.
Okay.
Two, now you have to market it as an app along with every other app.
Tons of marketing needed.
Yeah. But like people will pay for a service. You're already organically in that realm. People pay you for a super custom job. So people are like, you already have all these contacts where, or these circles where people would much rather pay somebody to implement something versus just buying an app off of the marketplace.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. Like, cause naturally I was just thinking, well, you just build the app and then you try to sell through the app exchange, but
that's selling a product versus a service, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're a service provider right now.
Yes.
So it's really difficult if you are going to sell both a service and a product. That those are two totally different animals on how you sell and market that.
Well, and the other thing I was thinking of, and I kind of like your advice on this. One of the things I was thinking of is that if I was going to build this as an app, is to basically set my own budget aside for it to say, okay, here's my internal cost to actually standardize this, to get this through whatever Salesforce parameters they have, you know, and it was still going to run me probably, I don't know, at minimum 25,000, you know, minimum. And maybe the way to do that is to avoid that whole hassle and run it kind of like it's they call it an unmanaged package, but thank you for that.
No, that's unmanaged package. That's a fancy word for you're a software company versus a service provider.
Oh. So focus on the service is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's how you make your money.
Sorry.
I mean,
you'd have to say it like that, Clay.
Technically,
loss. I mean, it's true. Like, always go the direction where you're making money. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me to go a different direction where you're making zero money.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm not saying it won't work. Like, you could absolutely put an app out there and it could sell, but like, you're talking like this is a whole different path.
Okay.
From a business model perspective, like it's completely different.
Yeah. I mean,
this is the difference between like, you know, I come from I'm a web developer.
Yeah.
I, you know, with my agency, I could be like, you know, we sold websites, right? Hey, we will develop your website for you.
Yes.
Or in the comparison of what you're talking about, we could have just developed our own WordPress template, put it out there in the world for people to buy and download.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have done that, but completely different on how you market it.
Got it.
Yeah. And the reason why that's difficult, because it changes up your processes.
Yes, it does. And
you're going to go slower.
And the resourcing the type of resourcing I need to actually build that as well.
Yeah, so, it's just there are hurdles. You're putting hurdles in place.
Interesting.
It's easy to see a shiny object when you feel like you can make some money. But it could also, like, that shiny object could be a distraction, which will actually do the opposite.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm just thinking of, and the reason I just went down this path is it's like, well, they have an app exchange for this very thing, and then you would just market it, and it's like, yeah, I think what you're saying makes a lot more sense. I just never for whatever reason. Thank you. I've never thought of it that way before.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, go look at every app on the Apple Store or Google Play or whatever. If you go look at every single one of those companies, I haven't done this, so I could be wrong, but I bet you if you take 1,000 apps and you look at who developed them, I bet you they're all software companies. They're not service providers.
Probably.
I bet they're all software companies. There's a reason.
Yeah. And it's structure.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Interesting. So, thank you. I will definitely be thinking about that moving forward.
Yeah. But you could take that same concept, like I said, and just provide it as a service.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Cool.
Well, it sounds like you've got some stuff to chew on, Jim.
I definitely do. So, thank you for that.
You know, you can test this. Like, both Preston and I, we are big advocates for testing products like that. You know, you're not sure if it's going to work. Before you
invest a ton of work in them.
Yeah, or like even, yeah, before you invest a ton of work, but and also before you even go super public with it. Mm. You just, you know, if you have a list of prospects, you just hit them up individually and say, hey, we're thinking about providing this. I think you're a good fit.
Yeah.
This is how much we're going to charge for it. You know, instead of being like, let's create a whole ad campaign and make a big thing on our website about it. Like, this is a brand new thing. Like, instead of doing the whole announcement, just go sell it quietly just to validate the idea. And then if people buy it, then it's validated. Then go make it public.
Yes. I've just seen... You know, I've just seen in this need basically everywhere I've been. And so it's like, well, there's an obvious need for it. And when I've seen it done by other companies, I mean, it's normally a very expensive app solution. And I'm like, well, I can definitely build something like that. That was kind of my initial thought on it. So very cool. Thank you for that.
Cool. Well, hopefully you can go sell a bunch of that.
Well, we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to hear how that goes for you, Jim. It's been a pleasure to chat with you today. Hear more about your business, hear how things are going, and hopefully provide some helpful advice. Do you want to remind people where they can connect with you if they want to learn more about your business or more about you or connect with you on a professional level?
Yeah, sure. I am on LinkedIn. My name is Jim Cruzan, and I have a website, my email is jim.cruzan@higherrock.us. So thank you for the time to chat with you both. Really appreciate you and all that you guys do.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. I have been Preston with Millo.co and of course, Clay from GetDripify.com. Thanks, Clay.
Yeah, always.
All right. We will chat next time. See you guys.
See ya. Thanks for listening to this episode of Freelance to Founder, a collaboration between Millo, Dripify, and the Pogglomerate.
You can find links to my business, Millo, Clay's business, Dripify, and of course our podcasting partner, the Pogglomerate, all in the description of this episode.
Remember to call in for your own episode at freelancetofounder.com.
A very special thank you to the members of the Millo and Pogglomerate teams who work behind the scenes to make this production possible.
To stream past episodes, visit freelancetofounder.com or search Freelance to Founder wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it for now. Until next time, see ya.
We will see you guys on the next episode of Freelance to Founder.